These are the recollections of Harav Meir Harach HaKoyim Ocharish about the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. When did you first hear of the Rosh Yeshiva?
I came all the year that I grew up in the States. I came
from whom did you hear these things?
In the Yeshiva world.
From your parents?
From my parents.
Who was your father?
My father was from Slutsk. That was the city that of Rabbi Zalman, the father-in-law of Rabbi Avraham.
And where did you live?
My parents lived in the Manhattan, Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Where did you go to yeshiva?
Mainly, before I went to Lakewood, I learned in the Chassan Sofer yeshiva. I learned 2 years by a father.
So what motivated you to come to Lakewood?
Lakewood is the place that was known that if you want to stay by learning all your life, you want to give over your life for learning, that's the place that that fits for it.
Okay, so what year was that you decided to come to Lakewood?
That was after 1 year of learning by Rafala, and I got a derech. At least at that time I thought I had enough of a derech.
What level were you at then?
I was a level just about to be fit for Lakewood.
What year was that?
58. Summer of 58.
Yeah. And, okay, so...
I had some chaverim. They were older than me in Lakewood.
And, who were they? What was his name?
Elowitz.
Trying to call this something wrong. Okay.
Elowitz. Had a few friends of theirs, and they were very much for it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to really stay by learning at the
First of all,
it's out of the city.
How old were you?
I was about 17.
So it was considered young to come to Lakewood.
Yeah.
So you're probably at a high level, so they don't even say come to contemplate
that. I thought so.
Oh, they thought so.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, so when did you come exactly?
The summer of 58.
What were they learning?
In Nedlo, I came the 1 month at the end of the Zman of the summer Zman. I don't remember exactly what they were learning at then, but in Nedlo Zman, they were learning Shabbos.
What was your first encounter with the Yeshiva life? Do you remember?
The first Shalom Aleichem, when I came into the Yeshiva, I gave Shalom Aleichem, he asked for my name, and I told him my name, and in about 2 seconds, 3 seconds later, he remembered it, and he said, oh, Tzadik.
Was he expecting you to come?
I made no, I didn't. I just came, like that's when I was applying for, and I expected whatever the.
Did you expect him to give you a hair or something?
I expected everything.
But he didn't.
The mice didn't give a hair.
So who did he? How'd you get arranged to settle down in the yeshiva?
At that time, the yeshiva wasn't as big as now. It was a small besmedish, packed, like 9 orim. He couldn't move. Yeah. He had to go out for any reason. It was like a struggle to get out if you were inside.
I mean, but physically,
it was a struggle to get out. It was a small place, and I had my few chavetim, so...
Who were the main people there that you remember who were there at the time, like the central figures?
Well, you had the Rabbi Akiv Shif, you had his brother-in-law, and Hartstein,
Hershkowitz,
Rabbi Hershkowitz, and no, his brother-in-law.
His brother-in-law.
He was, I think, in Bishrag afterwards. There was somebody that I knew from before. He's older than me.
He also learned by Rafal, didn't he?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But he was older than me.
Uh-huh.
About a few years older than
uh-huh.
me. And
Mr. Hillhurst.
Moshe Hillhurst.
Or both of them, both.
At that time, they called me Moshe Hirsch.
Moshe Hirsch. Well, there were two Moshe Hirsches.
The one that's now in Slovakia.
And the one who's in Yerushalayim. Would be there then?
At the same age?
I think more or less, no.
I don't remember having two, maybe.
I mean, he
was the one that was outstanding. He was known like.
There was another Moshe Hirsch there.
Maybe, you talking
about him?
No,
yeah.
That was maybe before my time.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not talking about that.
I just
want to
make it clear.
No. I'm talking about the Moshe Hirsch. Moshe Hirsch. Yeah. He was a geschmacky guy, very set up on the office. He was so, it was just nice to even to look at it when he's sitting there.
And,
Rabbi
Epstein?
Chaim Epstein, I'm not sure if he was
there. My time, how to be there. So then, what was the state of the yeshiva?
The state of the yeshiva... The exact timing.
It was
a locha, that it was the davening.
Was yeshiva by the davening?
The yeshiva wasn't there during the week.
When was he there?
He used to come for Thursday afternoons used to come, and he towards Maariv time.
Mm-hmm. What happened when he came?
And then there was a shiur.
As soon as he came?
The shiur was Shabbos.
What happened before the shiur? Like from Thursday on when the Rosh Yeshiva walked in? What was that like?
They used to come, they'd speak to him. They used to come to speak to me learning. I recall in detail.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever speak to him when he came?
Hey, speak to learning?
Yeah.
Oh, not really.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like for Shabbos, they had the shiur, and the shiur, I believe the main thing would be speaking about the Shia. And the Shia weren't that many people. Not too many Talmidim that really kept up with the Shia.
But they came.
They came, and there was Chazor on the Shia. Meir Haustin, Chazor, I think like Shif was also a Chazor. There were a few Chazorim on the Shia. And I think that was the main thing if you want to really speak to him, unless that's a thing. That's at least probably what he would like to hear.
What was the shiur like? Could you describe the field, the atmosphere?
The shiur was compact, speaking fast, pretty fast, and just going from one thing into the next thing, and for an hour and 10 minutes straight.
Did anybody ever
In my time, I heard of people that was used to ask, but in my time, they didn't ask.
They're afraid.
Moshe Eisman, I think he used to be.
In the old times.
Yes, the old times.
Yeah.
In my times, maybe somebody else. After all, I wasn't there that long. I was there for that 1 month, and then Elul, who left Sukkot later, then I left.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that Rapala, I could have much more out of the Shiva Rapala, which is, Rapala was Zatzal, he was a Odom Golden Mioid, very big lam, one of the Abriska, born in Brisk, and he had the full derech of the Biskirov. Biskirov had a lot to say about him, a lot of shvochim, and he was a small place, 30, 40, and he put in a lot of kochis into the Talmidim.
But there was a certain atmosphere in the yeshiva when the Rashiva walked in. Could you describe that?
The walking in the yeshiva into the Besmedesh is something that I can't describe. It's something I never saw it. I used to walk in the Besmedesh. The Besmedesh wasn't big, not big at all, but about 150 Talmidim, 100 Bukhrim, 50 in the night. Total, was the amount of the Bukhrim, the Talmidim of Yeshiva, used to walk in, and it was like, let's say, two rows of shtendis. They used to walk in before he used to turn left to Mizrach, used to stop for about a few seconds, and he looked around, and you could see that he had the whole yeshiva. He saw everybody in the yeshiva. He saw everybody in the yeshiva, then turning to Mizrach, and he went to his place. And there was everybody, Kulum Kiechot, everybody got up together, stood up in full standing position until he sat down. Just that, the Kovod HaTorah, that was seen, that something that you can never forget. And on looking under the yeshiva, when he came in, he saw somebody not from this world. He saw his faith, the Ruach HaTorah was Ramesh coming out of his whole face and everything. It was motivating. It's hard to describe.
But wasn't it the same time he was at this level, he was able to understand everything about everything else around him?
About the Bochrim?
Yeah.
Well, what I could say is, you could see the anivus of him, because we were Simchas Torah, and that's when I decided already that I'm not staying, because I could have much more, at least for another year, I would like to go back to Ramallah. Yeah. Okay, in what's Simchas Torah? I went over to him, and I said that I'm not staying, I'm going back. So he asked me why. So I said that I would like to have a shir. So he was like a little bit amazed, like, a shir? Don't we have a shir in Lakewood? So I said, yeah, when I'll reach the level of understanding the shishiva shir, I'll come back. That shows the Gvaldi Gandhi, so like, he didn't his shir, but why shouldn't a young bocher, why shouldn't anybody understand it? And the truth is, very few people kept up with the shir.
It was because of the speed.
The speed and everything, all the cheshbonis and everything, all the shit is... A regular Talmud needs time. You tell him over, say, a certain shit, you have to get it into you, and you have to elaborate on it, and you have to not analyze it, and nothing else going
for
the shit. There was Marmikoyms before him. Okay.
So if
anybody really went through all the Marmikoyms,
would help.
I'm sure it would help. But you get into a sugya, you're working on a sugya, and you don't get around. You know, you need at least a day's time just to check out all the Marmikoyms. Help it off. You don't get to it really. You rely. You know, you're in the sugya.
Did he want
that
you should learn fast?
But that I really can't say if that was, I'm sure, because that was the, I could only say my imagination, but I don't remember there should be any emphasis on a certain amount of learning. If I could only, but in my memory, not that I can't say that I heard it of being in Lakewood, but I think that Abraham wanted at least five blood a week, whatever. Yeah, part of it would be in, it's part of it the Bukiyas.
But maybe shouldn't dwell so much on one thing.
Yeah, you need a Seder like that. Known of all the Gdolim, the Stifler, the Shach, you need a Seder. By the way, I heard this from. It is from one of the children of the Biskirov, and he said that Reb Chaim Vizker, said if you don't learn 40 blood a month, you can't get to the Darga with Talmud Chum. Give me Darga. Biskirov said, I cut it down to half, but nothing less.
20 blood a month.
Nothing less. Anything less than that, he can't reach the Darga with Talmud
Chum. You don't get a critical mass. He once told me something about what happened when Reb Nosson, when he went to get the...
That's something that I read.
Something about what he gave something to a certain group he spoke to, so he wanted it.
That I also read.
That's not first hand.
No, not first hand.
Any other first-hand recollections? It could be even a hug or some comment he made about something.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. I mean, it was the Choshev Bochum that, you know, all the way that, the Barry Street with the Bochum.
Right.
The dining room.
Yeah, where was the dining room?
The dining room was in another building where the yeshiva is now. Yeah, there was the dining room. And they were sitting over by the table, so I would like to hear, but you know, you don't, too far, you don't hear. But you could see that hoge, You know, at that time they weren't speaking and learning in the sugyas. That was very interesting to see the way he was sitting there and he was speaking. Sometimes you got a little information. He was speaking avos, ados, adoge from Doilin.
Do you remember?
To build up. No, like I say,
details.
You're sitting. Even it wasn't. The dining wasn't so big, but still, you know, you can't hear. And you're sitting up there, you're sitting up front of there, and you're sitting at the table further away. And like, except for the Mesirah Satira of the Sugis Ashas and everything, just the whole Anogi from Talmud Chochem. That's what he's keeping over from the Gedolim. The sitting together, I think it was the people that were sitting around there, I'm sure it was many of them out there.
Hey, could you give me some lasting impression that you remained with so now that you'd like to give over to other people to hear? But this is the
limud that we can learn out from the Agoyin Rabban Zitzal and the Moise, the Lakewood Yeshiva, you see that a person is known that America was a mokim shomim from Ruchnius and Befrat in understanding that the limud haTorah by itself, just to continue learning, to steigen, keep on steigen and learning all your life, that was completely not known in America. And one person, Adam Godel, that Zoicha, the full Siyat HaShemai, with his godless and everything, could turn over the whole atmosphere of people that were very far from it. Even the Frumer people, it was more Migushim Dik. This is completely Das Balabatim is Heper Das Atoire. It's completely, a Balabos doesn't understand this. And today, Baruch Hashem, what do we see? We see even Balabatim, but they learned in the yeshivas. That's basics for them. Basics to understand that came Chayeinu v'Richemeinu, and that was Rabbarim. That's what he planted, and that's what he was striving for. And with the yeshiva, making such a yeshiva and hundreds of talmidim at that time, even that he did the machshava the ma'isa. And it was really amazing to see that the American boys. I came from Europe, I was a small kid, but American boys that were really brought up on the potato chips. And the American boys and the parents, we're not talking about the children, at least the Bochum, they learned in yeshivas really. The parents didn't even learn in yeshivas. They came from such homes. And not all of them are even such a 100% of the Haredish homes. And you see these American boys and Mamish Kule Dovak Betrida. And that was the Kuyach of Avodim Godel, which is Lemaila Me'ashemish. That's a limut that for everybody. Well, Hashem, today we don't have such a matzev of be such a shomer. But everybody understands, and wherever he is, in every place he is, even a mokhe that's far from learning, it could be changed. With the emeskite, with the mesiris nefesh, that's nothing to talk about. With a baron of the mesiris nefesh, he's a little human. From the day that he stepped off the boat, came to America with the mesiris nefesh, but told us cloudy through, but Torah, mesiris nefesh, mamish. But mesiris nefesh, so, if she could help that everybody in every matzah that he is, where he is, could change entire atmosphere.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay.